This is Brother Gino. I want to thank each and every one of you for joining me for the Pastor's Study today. We're going to continue our study that we've been doing on noteworthy verses in the Holy Bible. In other words, verses that stand out that we want to just spend a little moment talking about and seeing what the Word of God has to say. The last time we were in the book of Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah, and we're going to pick up there in chapter 64 in verse number 6. And this is what the Word of God has to say in Isaiah, chapter 64, verse 6. We read this: "But we are all as unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. And we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away." Now, what I want us to see about this verse is it's a great memory verse for showing a sinner how he appears in the eyes of God. As we read in our verse, filthy rags. And then he needs to be washed, according to Revelation chapter 1, verse 5, and adorned with the garments of salvation and a robe of righteousness, according to Isaiah chapter 61, verse 10. Now, we're in Isaiah 64. Let's look at verse number 8 together. "But now, O Lord, thou art our Father. We are the clay, and thou art potter, and we are all the work of thy hand." Now, this is a great or a good verse for keeping the believer humble. As our verse tells us, as the Word of God tells us, you and I are just the clay in the potter's hands. He can mold us, make us, bake us, and even break us. And if you want to read more about this, Jeremiah chapter 18 is the definitive chapter on this. Amen. Now let's move on to Isaiah 65, verse number 8. The Word of God has this to say: "Thus saith the Lord, as the new wine is found in the cluster, and one saith, destroy it not, for a blessing is in it. So will I do for my servants' sakes, that I may not destroy them all." What we want to see about this verse, it tells us, here we have a real jewel. New wine, according to the Word of God, isn't found in the bottle. It is found in the cluster. Furthermore, this new wine in the cluster, not in the bottle, is connected with a blessing. So there can be no question about the kind of wine that the Apostle Paul had in mind. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 16, when he wrote of the cup of blessing, he was referring to fresh grape juice and nothing else. Also, look with me in the 40th chapter of Genesis. So we want to turn to Genesis chapter number 40. And we want to look at verse number 11 of Genesis 40. And the Word of God tells us this. Genesis 40, verse 11. "And Pharaoh's cup was in my hand, and I took the grapes. And pressed them into Pharaoh's cup, and I gave the cup unto Pharaoh's hand." So obviously, Joseph gave Pharaoh grape juice. Amen. Now let's continue as we find ourselves here in the book of Isaiah. In Isaiah chapter 66, Isaiah 66 with me, and we want to look at verses 1 and 2 of Isaiah 66, And the Word of God has this to say. Thus saith the Lord, the heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that you build unto me? Where is the place of my rest? For all those things hath my hand made, and all those things have been, saith the Lord. But to this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit, and trembleth at my word. So we asked the question as we looked at, we read these two verses in Isaiah 66. Do you want God's attention? Then according to the word of God here in Isaiah chapter 66 and verses 1 and 2, be humble, my friend, and tremble at his word. All right, let's continue now in Jeremiah. Let's turn to the prophet Jeremiah. And in Jeremiah chapter 6, look at verse number 16 with me. Jeremiah 6, verse 16, the word of God has this to say. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways, and see, and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? And walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. Here we see what we want to see here in this verse, is one finds true rest in something that is old and proven, not in something new and exciting. Hard work, honesty, the golden rule, believing the Bible, fearing God, and trusting Christ for salvation, our old paths that have led millions in the right direction for thousands of years. My dear friend, my dear listener, nothing new, yes, nothing new is needed. All right, let's turn our attention to Jeremiah chapter number 8. Jeremiah chapter number 8, verse number 8. The word of God has this to say. How do you say, we are wise, and the law of the Lord is with us? Lo, certainly in vain made he it. The pen of scribes is in vain. What we want to notice here in this verse, the statement that the pen of the scribes is in vain. This here is very instructive, especially as it relates to the modern Laodicean scribes who produced the new Bible translations. You see, my dear listener, their pen is profitable for them, but vain or worthless in the eyes of God. Jeremiah chapter 9 with me. Jeremiah 9, verses 23 and 24. The word of God has this to say. Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, never let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord which exercise loving kindness, judgment, in righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. My friends, these two verses here are great memory passage on understanding the true nature of Almighty God. Amen. Now let's look in Jeremiah chapter 10. Jeremiah chapter 10 and verses 1 through 5, we read this. Hear ye the word which the Lord speaketh unto you, O house of Israel. Thus saith the Lord, learn not the way of the heathen, and be not dismayed at the signs of heaven. For the heathen are dismayed at them. For the customs of the people are vain, for one cutteth a tree out of the forest, and the work of the hands of the workmen with the axe. They deck it with silver and with gold. They fasten it with nails and with hammers. that it move not. They are upright as the palm tree, but speak not. They must needs be born because they cannot go. Be not afraid of them, for they cannot do evil, neither also is it in them to do good. Now, what we want to see in this passage is this. Now, the similarities to the Christmas tree are striking. Although the context is the making and worshiping of graven images. Look at verse 14 of Jeremiah 10. The Word of God says, every man is brutish in his knowledge. Every founder is confounded, but the graven image, for his molten image is falsehood, and there is no breath in them. Looking in Jeremiah chapter 13. Jeremiah 13, verse number 10. We read this. This evil people, which refuse to hear my words, which walk in the imagination of their heart and walk after other gods to serve them and to worship them, shall even be as this girdle, which is good for nothing. So we see here in this verse, this is where we get the expression, good for nothing. Amen. Now, Jeremiah chapter 15, verse 16. The Word of God has this to say, Jeremiah 15, 16. Thy words were found, and I did eat them. And thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart, for I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. What we want to see from this verse is, if you're called by God's name, then you ought to be finding his words and eating them. And they ought to be the joy and rejoicing of your heart. Jeremiah chapter 17 is, again, we're looking at noteworthy verses in the Holy Bible. Verses that stand out. Verses that are worthy that we should take note of them. Jeremiah 17, verses 5 and 10. Listen now. Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man, and maketh flesh his arm, whose heart departeth from the Lord. For he shall be like the heath in the desert, and shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness in a salt land, and not inhabited. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. The heart is deceitful above all things, and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart, I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. My dear listener, this whole passage is well worth noting as it warns against trusting in man rather than God. And verse 9 is a great verse on the wicked heart of man. Again, verse 9 of Jeremiah 17, we read this. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Now let's turn to Jeremiah chapter 20. Jeremiah 20, if you would. And let's look at verse number 9. Jeremiah 20, verse 9, we read this. Then I said, I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name, but his word was in mine heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones. And I was weary with forbearing, and I could not stay. We see here a verse is noteworthy because it tells us God's word was in his heart where God told him to put it. So it served him well when he needed it most. In the Psalm 119 reminds us as well. Let's turn to Psalm 119 together. And in Psalm 119, and of course that Psalm 119 is all about the Word of God. In verse 11, we read this. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. We need to hide the Word of God in our hearts. Why? Because there'll come a time when we'll need it. When we'll need it most. When we're tempted to sin, my dear friends. Jeremiah chapter 23. Jeremiah 23. Look at verses 5 and 6 with me. The Word of God has this to say. Jeremiah 23 verses 5 and 6. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch. A king shall reign and prosper, and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. In his days Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely. This is his name whereby he shall be called, the Lord our righteousness. Now, the passage deals with Christ, the branch, also called such in Isaiah chapter 4, verse 2, in Isaiah 11, 1, and also in Zechariah chapter 3, verse 8, and chapter 6, verse 12. The branch is spoken of in four different contexts corresponding with four Gospels. Also, let's look at Jeremiah chapter 33, verse 15. Jeremiah 33, verse 15, in connection with this. We read this, Jeremiah 33, verse 15. We read, in those days and at that time will I cause the branch of righteousness to grow up unto David, and he shall execute judgment in righteousness in the land. Let's look at Jeremiah 29. Jeremiah 29 in verse number 8, we read this. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, let not your prophets and your diviners that be in the midst of you deceive you, neither hearken to your dreams which you cause to be dreamed. So what we want to know from this verse is, so what if a man does have a dream? We're told here, maybe he caused the dream himself. Amen. In verse 13 of Jeremiah 29, we read this, and ye shall seek me and find me when you shall search for me with all your heart. My dear listener, this is a great memory verse. God wants you and I. He wants all our hearts, not just a convenient part of our heart. Amen. Notice in the Gospel of Matthew with me, what it says in Matthew chapter 22, or rather 23, Matthew 23 with me. And when we get to Matthew 23, look at verse number chapter 22 of Matthew, verse 37. Notice Matthew 32:37, the Word of God says, Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. Amen. Now let's look at Jeremiah chapter 30, verse 7. Jeremiah chapter 30, verse 7. The Word of God has this to say. Alas, for the day is great, so that none is like it. It is even the time of Jacob's trouble. Now this is one of the terms for the great tribulation. So we want to note this. The time of Jacob's trouble is one of the terms in the Word of God that talks or references the great tribulation that is coming. Amen. But thank God, as children of God, as born again children of God, that we will not be here on this earth when this takes place. The Lord Jesus Christ will take us out at the rapture. Because we're told in the Word of God that the wrath of God abideth not on the believer. Amen. Look in Jeremiah chapter 32. And in Jeremiah chapter 32, look at verse 27. We read this. Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? This is another great memory verse. It might seem elementary, but we grown-ups tend to forget it. There's nothing too hard for God. I've heard many a great sermon preached out of this verse. Amen. There's nothing too hard for God. There's no one too hard for God to save. Amen. Remember that. Keep praying. Keep praying for that loved one to be saved, that friend, that acquaintance. Amen. That sister, that brother, that mother, that father, that child, whoever it may be. There's no one too hard for God to save. Amen. Now let's look at Jeremiah chapter 33, verse 3. Often referred to as God's phone number. Notice, call unto me, call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Again, my dear listener, another great memory verse that we need to memorize and put in our hearts. God tells us, he promises, if you'll call unto him, that he will answer thee. And not only will he answer thee, he will show you great and mighty things which you and I don't know about. Amen. Look in Jeremiah chapter 36. Jeremiah 36 with me. And notice, first in verses 27 to 28, we read this. The word of the Lord came to Jeremiah after that the king had burned the roll, in the words which Baruch wrote in the mouth of Jeremiah, saying, take thee again another roll, and write in it all the former words that were in the first roll which Jehoiakim, the king of Judah, had burned. Now let's drop down to verse 32. Then took Jeremiah another roll, and gave it to Baruch, the scribe, the son of Neariah, who wrote therein from the mouth of Jeremiah all the words of the book which Jehoiakim, king of Judah, had burned in the fire, and there were added besides unto them many like words. So, what's noteworthy about these verses? I want you to notice. Notice how the second writing was just as inspired as the original. In fact, in light of the added words in verse 32, one could even make the argument that it was better. There is simply no biblical precedent for claiming that the original autographs are superior to the King James Bible. Amen. All righty, let's continue as we're looking at noteworthy verses in the Holy Bible. We're in the prophet Jeremiah. Now we're going to turn to Jeremiah chapter 44, Jeremiah 44, if you would with me, and look at verse number 17 of Jeremiah 44. But we will certainly do whatsoever thing goeth forth out of our own mouth to burn incense unto the Queen of Heaven, and to pour out drink offerings unto her, as we have done, we and our fathers, our kings, our princes, in the cities of Judah, in the streets of Jerusalem, for then had we plenty of victuals, and we were well and saw no evil. Now, what I want us to see here and notice is the term Queen of Heaven. Queen of Heaven is one of the Roman Catholic titles for their goddess that they call Mary. She isn't Mary at all. In fact, she's the pagan fertility goddess of the Old Testament under different names, Ishtar, Ashtaroth, Diana, Isis, and a host of other names that date clear back to the time of Nimrod and his evil wife. All righty, we're in Jeremiah. We continue in Jeremiah, if you would, in chapter 48. In chapter 48, in verse number 10 of Jeremiah, we read this. Cursed be he that doeth the work of the Lord deceitfully, and cursed be he that keepeth back his sword from blood. What we want to notice from this verse is, first of all, it's a great memory verse for two reasons. One reason is because the verse warns against deceitfulness in the ministry. In fact, Jesus takes note of men in whom there is no guile in John chapter 1, verse 47. Not men who act more like politicians than preachers. The second reason is that the verse tells us to draw blood. Spiritually speaking, we are to make people bleed with the sword of the word of God. In Hebrews chapter 4, a very familiar verse, you're probably very familiar with it. In chapter 4 of Hebrews, chapter 12, it says, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. So we see then the second reason is that the verse tells us to draw blood. Spiritually speaking, we are to make people bleed with the sword of the word of God, ourselves included. Only then can the flesh be drained of its own will and be reckoned dead, and the Holy Spirit might lead. A man under conviction is a man who is spiritually bleeding. Okay, so as we conclude looking in Jeremiah for note verses or chapters or passages, Jeremiah chapters 50 and 51. These two chapters are noteworthy because they deal with the fall of Babylon, just like Revelations chapter 17 and 18. And much of the language of Revelation chapter 17 and 18 is taken from these chapters, such as the golden cup we find in Jeremiah chapter 51 verse 7, and compare that to Revelation 17 verse 4. And then also the order for Jews to flee Babylon. We see that in Jeremiah chapter 51 verse 6, and also corresponding to Revelation 18 4. And then the declaration that Babylon is fallen in Jeremiah 51 verse 8, and corresponding with that in Revelation chapter 18 verse number 2. So we see that Jeremiah 50-51 are noteworthy because they deal with the fall of Babylon, just as we see that Revelation chapter 17 and 18. And I encourage you, as I give you these references, to look them up. Do your own study. Amen. All righty. Well, we've run out of time. Hope this study and noteworthy verses in the Holy Bible has been a blessing to you. Remember, when we conclude this study, this whole study will be available on a CD. Well, I hope you'll join me again as we continue our journey through noteworthy verses in the Holy Bible.